Now, fitness is a major thriving industry in Australia and abroad, creating a massive market for sports nutrition, vitamins, and dietary supplements. These can cause an estimated 23,000 emergency admissions in the US alone, with reports of liver, kidney, and heart damage. Nasty, nasty stuff. Definitely not the sort of stuff you see on the advertisements. On the line with us today, though, to have a bit of a chat about what's going down is Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, a lecturer in nutrition and food sciences at the University of South Australia. Evangeline, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Tess.
So, you know, when it does come to dietary supplements, what, I guess, are they aiming to add to a diet that we wouldn't already be getting?
Well, in the case of sports nutrition and enhancing sports performance, often the promise is that there will be enhanced sports performance or there will be enhanced muscle gain. But the reality is you need to do the hard exercise to actually get those improvements in both performance and also in muscle gain. So it sort of depends on what supplement you're looking at. And as you can imagine, there's a great range of them that are aimed for the athlete. But one of the major ones that's promoted is protein supplements. They're literally sold by the bucketful, promising, you know, amazing six-pack abs and muscles and whatnot. But the reality is you still have to put the hard work in. In addition, we do know that most people consume more than enough protein. So it's not actually extra protein you do need in your diet. It's having it at the right time after exercise. We know when people are doing resistance exercise, the purpose of that is to actually build up the muscle in the body, that about 1 to 2 hours after the resistance exercise has ceased, that's when the muscle starts to resynthesize and build up and become bigger, if you like. And that is the critical time to take the protein. So it's not about people taking extra protein supplements, it's about making sure they have it at the right time. And sometimes it can just be a meal that you're consuming. So you go to the gym, you pump some iron after work, and then you go home and have dinner. And most people's dinners will have some form of protein, that be it a animal source of protein or a plant source of protein. So we always say with sports nutrition and across all of nutrition that it's always food first and then supplements, because as you said in your introduction, there's a whole lot of risk with taking sports supplements that can cause a lot of medical problems. Additionally, for some athletes, for the professional athletes, there's always the risk of contamination as well. You know, and so if they have a doping test done, they could come up positive for it. So that's another concern that we have as well.
And I actually, contamination is not something I'd really thought much about either. How likely is that sort of situation for a professional athlete?
Well, it varies, and there are reports that come out from time to time. But the contamination can either be non-intentional, so there's some form of cross-contamination at the factory site. So if they also produce prohibited substances, there may be some cross-contamination with the equipment they use, or someone accidentally adds something. But there's also the intentional contamination. This is probably the more worrisome one, where manufacturers will put in some banned substance in there, not label it on the product, and so that when people use the product, they go, well, look, this has actually worked. It's really built up my muscles. They read the package and they go, well, it's safe. It must be something special about the way they've formulated this within the safe, legal way. And then it's promoted to their other, you know, colleagues and friends that, hey, this has really worked, and it's a way of advertising. So, you know, it can occur under two circumstances. So it can be banned substances, but it could also be heavy metals, and they're the things that have caused the emergency admissions into hospital, where they might contain mercury or, you know, cadmium, arsenic in them, and cause damage that way as well. So, yeah, it is a risk, and most professional sporting organisations actually get all their supplements tested, batch tested, to ensure that they are safe for their athletes.
And you've touched on the health risks, I guess, a couple of times and the hospital admissions. It sounds like some pretty serious stuff. Is this something that it's only, you know, it only gets to that stage if you really overindulge in some of these sports nutrition supplements? Or is this something that can just happen if you're taking them regularly?
It depends. And that's where you look at the medical history of the person. So if someone has a family history of liver or kidney problems, it could just happen with, you know, the occasional use of it, or, you know, the regular use, but not the overuse. But then for others, it may come through the overuse. So the best thing that we always recommend as sports dietitians is to look at your food first and try to plan your nutrition around the foods that you can eat. They're cheaper, they're healthier, you also get other nutrients with them. So if we're looking at a protein supplement, normally that's just the whey protein that's inserted in there. But if you're drinking milk, you're also getting all the calcium, the vitamin B group vitamins that you need. If you're eating meat, you're also getting the iron and the zinc you need. And you, and someone might say, but yes, you can take supplements to take those other nutrients, but the doses you get in your food are the doses that nature intended, and it's the better way to go rather than taking supplements where you're going to get potential larger doses than what you get in a serve of food. So going back to your original question, sorry, Tess, it depends on the medical history of the person, if they're taking any other medication, if the amount that they're using it, and if they've unfortunately, you know, got a bad batch of something that's been contaminated.
And so what sort of regulations do we have, I guess, in Australia regarding sports nutrition? Because it sounds like it's got something with, there's some pretty serious consequences if something does go wrong.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. So food and medicines are highly regulated in Australia. We have, the FSANT, which looks at what is allowed in food, what additives can be put in and in what doses. But with the supplement industry, it's largely unregulated in Australia. So whilst they do prohibit the sales of certain supplements that contain banned substances in them, it doesn't limit what people can purchase over the internet. So, you know, there's always, even if you do go, you know, so there is a safe supply where you can say, yes, these firms don't produce any other banned substances on their premises, like anabolic steroids. But then once you go to the online market, that's a different market, and it brings in a higher level of uncertainty of what the supplements are. Normally we recommend that athletes do use supplements that are produced in Australia because we have more idea of the control systems around them. But even there, supplements are an unregulated market. And if we go outside of the sports side, supplements, there's been lots of studies to show that supplements don't actually contain what they say they contain in them. So, you know, it's a high risk. It's an unregulated area in Australia.
It's definitely going to be one for us to keep an eye on. But Evangeline, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, a lecturer in nutrition and food sciences at the University of South Australia, having a bit of a chat.